What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time for us to find out our first look for this week, some of the local news here in the Republic of Panama. Although in the last 5 years, Panama has faced various critical challenges that have affected its social and economic development, the outgoing administration of Laurentino Cortizo leaves a legacy of indolence and inaction, warned the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP, in its Sunday column. If the outgoing government demonstrated anything, it was an alarming irresponsibility and lack of courage in making decisions on critical issues that affect the well-being and future of the country, they say. The Chamber highlights as one of the most controversial issues the management of the Social Security Fund, the CSS, and its Disability, Old Age and Death, the IVM program, and accuses the outgoing administration of generating uncertainty about the future of retirements and pensions of many Panamanians. In the educational field, the union criticized the prolonged closure of schools during the pandemic. The vaunted concept of education as the star was nothing more than another campaign ruse soon abandoned, the column states. They also included the management of solid waste and how this problem has contributed now to unhealthy conditions in the quality of life of the communities and has deteriorated the image of the country among tourists. Regarding the management of water resources, they say that the current administration did not foresee ensuring new sources of water, both for the population and for the operation of the Panama Canal. They affirm that trust in public institutions also suffered during this administration and emphasize the management of the Ministry of Economy and Finance and the Comptroller General of the Republic, institutions that have been criticized for non-transparent and politicized practices. On the other hand, the association recognizes the government's efforts made during the COVID-19 pandemic. However, they refuse to present this as the administration's main achievement, as it has been perceived by some as an example of the lack of results in other critical areas. The Panamanians, or we Panamanians, are paying now a high price as a result of the inaction of the government administration that's about to end, it was noted. Furthermore, they call on the next authorities to have the courage to make the necessary changes to guarantee a prosperous and equitable future for all Panamanians. During the 2019-24 government period, three entities found themselves in the eye of the hurricane due to severe criticism for the lack of transparency in the management and spending of public funds, which in total amounted to $4,330.6 million. The National Assembly, the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources, the IFARU, and the National Decentralization Authority, the AND, were repeatedly pointed out by citizens and civil society organizations for the lack of control and supervision in the management of state resources, generating public distrust and outrage and demands for greater accountability. In said period, the National Assembly spent $950.6 million. IFARO used $2,215.2 million. And the National Decentralization Authority, well, they used $1,164.8 million. What can be done with the $4,330.6 million? And let's face it, let's put it in its real language, that's $4,330,000. $0.6 in 5 years. Now, for example, with that amount, it would have been possible to build two metro lines. Some 400 schools of excellence like the Guillermo Rindara Galimeni, or 100 stadiums like the recently inaugurated Marino Rivera. During the period 2019 to 2024, the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources, IFARU, was the entity that received the largest budget among the three mentioned, reaching a total of $2,215.2 million. IFARU's high budget generated controversy due to the discretionary allocation of financial aid, although the regulations established preference for the most needy students and from vulnerable areas. Much of the aid was granted to officials, relatives of ministers, deputies, diplomats, state suppliers, members of the PRD, and people without apparent economic needs, including President Laurentino Cortizo. The Prensa revealed a database that detailed a significant proportion of IFARU's economic aid program, listing 2,144 beneficiaries between July of 2019 and May of 2023, with a total expenditure of $141.6 million. However, this figure represents only a fraction of the total, since the beneficiaries of another 2,759 disbursements, although still unknown. In the last 5 years, the National Assembly of Panama has spent more than $950 million, allocating 90% of that budget to payroll and other operating expenses. The significant disbursements has generated concern and criticism about the efficiency and justification of such expenses in an entity that, according to the Comptroller General of the Republic, employs some 4,200 permanent and temporary officials. And furthermore, the National Assembly is a state entity, by the way, with the largest number of advisors, with about 400 of them, whose annual cost amounts to $14 million. This number represents a radical increase of 408% compared to 2010, when there were 81 advisors whose annual cost was $1.9 million. This increase has sparked debates about the need and the transparency of such positions and their impact on the state budget. Magistrate Alfredo Junco said that when presenting credentials to the elected deputies this week, we must depoliticize the National Assembly. And talking of which, the National Assembly that will be installed on the 1st of July will not be the same. There will be transcendental events around it that compete in importance. One of them is that the largest bench is made up of deputies who are not nominated by political parties. Another, for that first time since 2018, an omnipotent budget commission will not be chaired by Benicio Robinson. Yes, you heard correctly. This week, Robinson announced that he will not aspire to direct it, although he warned that whoever replaces him must understand that this position is not for lazy people. It must be recognized that he worked hard to leave an indelible mark. In the last 6 years, the Commission's agenda has been an enigma, more complex than the riddle of the Sphinx. The technical budget documents are non-existent. Minutes are signed on transfers of items that have not been discussed in the sessions, and these happen without prior notice, when they feel like it. Furthermore, they have happily scored goals in the general state budget law, and the supervisory role that they have had to exercise seems to be only used in the little room. We are finally about to witness a favourable change in the way the use of public funds is decided. But Benicio no longer wants to preside over the only instance of the government apparatus in which his members openly asked, "What's in it for me?" without anything happening to them. That doesn't mean that his seat will remain headless. In fact, he announced that he will not leave the assembly even to go to the Parlison, and that he has given his seat in that body to his substitute. He says that God has blessed him to represent the voters of the 1-1 circuit for another period, the 8th, by the way. The justification based on a divine design is surely the same one that he applies to hurricanes, pandemics, and wars. The call opened by the Social Security Fund, the CSS, to select the new general director for the period 2024-2029 has attracted the attention of about 29 professionals, who have presented their documentation in a process that seeks to define the future leadership of a lot of the most important entities of the country. Now, this is one of the main challenges. The elected president, José Raúl Mulino, is to choose a person who can face the crisis of the entity, a consequence of the low collection of the worker-employer quota, in which the pensions, by the way, of course, are financed. One day after the resignation process had closed, a list of applicants was circulated on Saturday. Although the CSS has not officially made the list public, internal sources of the entity confirmed to La Prensa that these are indeed the names and the amount. Among those interested are some well-known names, such as Rolanda Villalas, former deputy director of the CSS, and actuary Dino Mon, who already presented their roles in 2019, when the current director, Enrique Lau Cortez, was elected. Both confirmed that they delivered their documentation. It's not all bad news. The generation of jobs through the travel and tourism industry in Panama this year, that's going to amount to 392,000 people for a contribution of $13.5 billion to the local economy, which will represent a contribution of 19.5% to the gross domestic product, the GDP. Now, this is estimated by a study carried out by the World Travel and Tourism Council, the WTTC, which is based in London in England, together with Oxford Economics, which highlights the great potential that the country has to attract tourists by air and sea and reinforce the commitment to a sustainable destination in which nature is highlighted. Julia Simpson, president of the WTTC, recalled that by 2019, the industry contributed 15% of the gross domestic product to the Panamanian economy by 2023. It rose to 15.2%, meaning $12.9 billion. Last year, the employment in the tourism sector, including hotels, restaurants, transportation, among other related activities, such as air transportation, was 380,000 people, which is equivalent to 47,500 additional jobs than those registered before the pandemic in the year 2019. It was specified that the country stood out last year among the 98 destinations that broke records in terms of the economic contribution of this industry to the GDP. Panama is consolidating itself as one of the most resilient countries globally in terms of tourism, with positive figures. It reinforces the role of this sector as a pillar for social development and the growth of its economy, while continuing to be a global tourism benchmark. The WTTC representative said that spending by international visitors in Panama will reach a historic high with $9.4 billion, an increase of more than 23% compared to 2019. Likewise, spending on domestic tourism is expected to achieve a record of $2.2 billion. Simpson also revealed that by 2034, the Panamanian tourism industry will be valued at $19.1 billion and will contribute more than 15% of GDP. In Panama, it's expected about 472,000 people will be employed in the tourism sector within a decade. There are sectors such as luxury tourism that are growing in Panama, and Copa Airlines represents a third of the air connections that exist, directly generating 150,000 tourists who come to Panama through the stopover program, she indicated. And that's it. There we go. There's our look for this Monday, our first look for the week. Some of the local news stories compiled for you for this morning's program.